Amen. God bless. God bless everybody. He's happy you're here. And I can honestly say from the bottom of my heart that I'm happy that I am here. You know, because in the run-up to this convention, we had so many things. Oh, it's going to be so rough. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. You know, I can honestly say this is one of the quietest conventions I've ever been on. One of the most peacefulest conventions I've ever been on. You know, that's only to glorify the Lord. It's not any man's work, but it's only what the Lord can do amongst his people. Can we say amen? Let's hear a bigger amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from the book of John. I'm going to talk nice and slow so you can understand me. New Testament, book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6. You know, as you're finding it, let's pray. You know, if you're saved in this place, then please pray. If you're not saved, then pray that the Lord would speak to your heart. You know, if you're seeking to find out what is truth, what's this all about, why is there so many gypsy and traveler people coming under a tent, then please, you ask the Lord, say, speak to my heart, and he will. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you would have your way. Lord, that you would move by the power of your spirit tonight, my God. Lord, let it be all from you, my God, and nothing from man tonight. Lord, that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, touch hearts in this place, my God. Touch lives in this place. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. John 14, 6 says this. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you know, I love this mission. I've been brought up in this mission, and I love it with all my heart. And you know, it's not to glorify men or any men's work, but the reason that there's so many people here today, and the reason that there's so many churches, I think 35 churches plus in the UK, is not because of men. It is because we stick to the word of truth. You know, there's so many churches that's deviating from the truth. They're starting to say that you can get saved even if you're in another religion, as long as you're sincere, you can get to heaven. As long as you're sincere in what you believe in, then you can get to heaven. But you know, I want to tell you the real gospel, and it's not me that said it, it's Jesus. And I make no apologies. He says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. You know, Jesus says, I am the way. That means there is no other way. You know, I don't say that with no apologies. Jesus is the way, the only way. You know, there's so many watered-down gospels getting preached. There's so many other doctrines getting preached. But tonight I want to tell you, if you want to get to heaven, it is only by Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says there's one name given under heaven by which men can be saved. And that is only by the name Christ Jesus. Can we say amen? The Bible says that I'm the way, I'm the truth. You know, the gospel message offends people. You know, I find that I can preach anything I want to preach. I could scream Allah Akbar to the top of my lungs and I'll get away with it. I could preach about gay rights. I could preach about anything I want and I'll be okay. But see, if I preach the gospel, I find it offends people. It cuts to the heart. And the reason it does that is because it is the truth. You know, there's something about the truth that when we hear it, we do not like it. Because the Bible tells us about the sin. You know, it convicts. The truth hurts. But you know that because it's the truth, it doesn't have to make no apologies. It is the truth. Jesus, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. Think about that for a second. The wrath of God remains upon you. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means each and every single one of us in this place. That means me, that means you, that means the person beside you, for all have sinned. In fact, it goes farther, it says that we were born into sin. You know, you might think that, oh, I'm a good person. I don't fall under that category. You know, I'm a clean living man, I'm a clean living woman. I look after my family, I do this, I do that. Surely, if there's a heaven, surely if there's a God, I'll get in. What have I done? You know, when we look at ourselves on man standards, you might be right. You might be better than maybe 80% of the people in this tent, but how do you stand before God? How do you stand before a holy and a righteous God? You know, if I was to play everything that you've ever did, ever thought, ever said on a screen right now, you know, these screens that we have, imagine if everybody was to watch in this tent. Everything you've ever thought, said, or did, every bad thought you've ever had, I think you'd run out of this tent and you'd never be seen again. Because truthfully, in our hearts, we are not good people. There is no one good, no, not one. Not me, not anybody else. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. Separation from God. You know, and I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm not talking about we're all going to die. That's common sense. I'm talking about where you're going to go after you die. The Bible speaks about a place called hell. You know, hell is a real place. Hell is a place where the Bible says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place that is blacker than black. And hell is a place that you will never get out of. And you know, when we get taught to preach the gospel, I'm going to be quick because we're only taught to preach the gospel quick, but we're supposed to preach as if this is the last message that you were ever going to hear in your life. Think about that for a second. If this is the last message that you ever hear, you've heard about hell and how horrible a place it is, but hell is a place where you will never get out. Hell is a place where in 100 years from now, you will still be there. In 1,000 years from here, you will be there. In 1,000,000 years from here, you will be there. Please, think about that for a second. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this is the truth. Hell is a place where even in 1,000,000 years, if somebody said to you, I'll give you a break from hell. In 1,000,000 years, if somebody said you'll get a week's break, you'll have a bit of hope. But there is no hope in hell. Hell is a place where you don't want to go. And you know, people say, well, if God's a God of love, why is he going to send me to hell? Surely if God's a God of love, he'll let us into heaven. You know, some people live their life by that. But think about it for a second. If being good could get you to heaven, why would Jesus die on a cross? If being good people could get us there, why would Jesus have to come and die on a cruel cross? What would be the point in God coming down? Think about what he'd done. God Almighty became a man for me and you. The Bible says God became flesh. He lived 33 years. And you know, sometimes we talk about the cross, it's quick. Think about what he'd done. He lowered himself to become a man. The Bible says he grew in stature and in wisdom. For me and you, he was subject to his parents. No sin was found in him. He lived all this time for me and for you. You know, it wasn't no short death that he endured. You know, we look at this cross on the front of the pulpit, and we have crosses on our Bibles, we have crosses on our necks. We've romanticized the cross to the point where it's lost the meaning to us. But think about, you know, if the cross was a cursed thing. The cross is the most horrible death that somebody could ever die. The cross is a place, it's just beyond, no Roman soldier, no Roman was ever allowed to be crucified on a cross because it was such a horrible death. But yet Jesus allowed himself to be beaten, to be spat upon, to allow fallen men to punch him, to rip the hair from his face. You know, he done all this for me and for you. Think about that for a second, what he'd done for us. You know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to the Father. He said, Lord, if there's any other way that man can be saved, if there's any other way, if they can be good and get to heaven, if they can do so much righteous work and get to heaven, if they can pay the way to heaven, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But there is no other way. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness for sin. You know what I thought about that? I thought, Lord, why did you make it that price, a blood payment? You know, when you think about it, why would somebody have to die in our place? The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin for me and you. Jesus took upon sin and nailed it to the cross. But why? You know, when I thought about this, the ultimate price is life. What's the ultimate commodity on earth? Diamonds, gold, silver. Now I'll tell you what the ultimate commodity is. Life. What better way for God to show his love towards us than to give his own life? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God done for you, to show you that he loves you. You know, you say, well, how do I know that God's real? He loves you so much, he's already died to set you free. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, while we were Christ's enemies, he died for us. That's what my Jesus did for me and for you. Think about that. The Bible says that the spear him in his side, he was dead. You know, the Muslims would have us believe that he was only unconscious, but Jesus was dead on the cross. They took him down, they laid him in a tomb. But I want to tell you something. I'm not here preaching about no dead gospel tonight. I'm not here preaching about no man that died and is still in the grave. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. The Bible says on the third day, he was rose to life. And we don't serve no dead God. We serve a living God. He's alive, amen. He's here tonight. And he wants to change lives. That's the God that we serve. And he showed himself to over 500 people. And you know, you think, well, I don't really believe that. He rose from the dead. Think about it. His disciples, the 12 disciples, these men, they saw Jesus, walk with him, talk with him. And he claimed to be the Messiah. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, these seem like sensible men to me. And if I was following somebody that claimed to be the Messiah and he never rose from the dead, I tell you what I'm going to do. I wouldn't die for him, would you? The Bible says that, you know, when all these disciples and everything that they did, they followed Jesus. And after he died and after he rose again, every single one of them suffered deaths apart from John. Every single one of them was dragged behind chariots. They were shot by arrows. Some of them were skinned alive for the name of Jesus. Do you think they did that for a dead man who never rose? No. Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive. You know, I want to tell you something. I'm going to finish right now because I'm going on too long. What are you going to do about Jesus Christ tonight? What are you going to do about your sins? You know, in the Bible, there's a story where Jesus heals a man with a withered arm. And what he does is he says, stretch forth your arm. You know, the man had to do something. And you know what? I want to ask you tonight, would you get out your chair and come forward and give your life to the Lord? You know, don't let lads hold you back. Or don't let shame hold you back. Or don't think, oh, I've got time. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. I've got too much things to do. Do not put off to tomorrow what can be done right now in this place. Don't put off to tomorrow what can be done right now. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have another day. Please do not put off tomorrow what can be done in this place tonight. You know, we say that when you talk about sin and you talk about death and resurrection and the gospel, now it's down to you. You know, God has made us with a free will. You can accept or you can reject. What are you going to do about Jesus Christ? What are you going to do tonight? You know, don't let this moment pass by and think, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got this, I've got that. And I want to tell you something as well. The cost of following Jesus is not cheap. You know, we think that we can come down here and say a prayer and that's it. I want to tell you something. I want to warn you what's going to happen. You come down and give your life to Jesus. You know that the Holy Spirit will never enter a man or woman and leave them the same way. The Holy Spirit will never enter a man's life and leave him the same. You will change from the inside out. You will become a new creation. And you know, part of that is your friends won't want to know you. Your family members, the Bible says your enemies will be those of your own household. You know, when you start to talk about Jesus and all these things, and there's repentance and there's turning away from sin, your friends won't want to know you. Your family doesn't want to know you. You know, you suffer, but that's part of the cost. You count the cost. Don't come down and think that saying a prayer gets you saved. We have to submit our lives to Christ. But are you willing tonight to lay it all on the line and say, you know, if you're serious with God, God is serious with you. I'm going to ask the brothers back up. Tonight, if you mean business with God, he means business with you. Please don't let this chance pass you by. Let's pray.